G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
I'm just so blessed to be here today, God's good. Let me just drop some names. I like to drop names. I know Jesus. Hallelujah. And when you know Jesus, you know what Jesus can do, and you know what Jesus has done.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So we're in a faith conference, right? And, you know, as believers, we've been given an awesome lot of stuff and our whole life is spent finding out what God has already placed on the inside of us. It's not so much asking God to do things for us, but to release what God has already placed on the inside of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're awesome. Now, that's provided you're a believer, right? Because if you're not a believer, you're not awesome. But you can be awesome. Amen? It says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So who wants to please God here today? So we've got to find out about this faith stuff, right? Hallelujah. So faith is our starting point for us to come into a relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5 says that your faith should be not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, wherever Lindy and I go and we preach and teach and minister, we don't necessarily always preach on healing. I do like that because we get good results there and I like it. And I just like to do what I like. And so people get healed in their seats. And it's not because they're good looking. It's not because I'm good looking. Even though I am tall, dark and handsome. Well, I was dark. And I was tall compared to a kid in grade one. And my mother thought I was handsome. But we were in a church up at, Redcliffe, just towards the end of last year. And the pastor's wife had a very sore jaw. And it was so bad that when she ate, she'd have to actually brace her hand like this. To eat. The husband, the pastor, was away. He went on a trip to Israel. And we took her out to dinner after the service. And she said, I got totally healed just sitting in my seat. You're supposed to say, praise Jesus. And then just before Christmas, we went to church in Stanthorpe. I think they had some affiliation with Jerry Savelle or something like that. And anyway, there were only about 25. Look, if I said there were 30 people, I'd be exaggerating, right? There would have been only about 25 people there. Five people. Everybody say five.
Five.
How many is that?
Five.
How many is that?
Five.
Five people got healed in their seats just while I'm teaching and sharing the word.
Thank you, Jesus.
They say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
It's unreal. That's incredible. Then I went to another church just over here in Woodridge, and there was about 120 people. There's no mathematical correlation. Thank you for that. Anyway, there were about at least 120 people in this church, and three people got healed in their seats. And then there was another lady. She came afterwards, and she said, you know, I was sitting in my seat. My pain level was a 10 out of 10. And she said it went down from a 10 to a 5 sitting in my seat. She came out the front and Lindy and I, we just ministered healing to her. And she said it went down to a 0.5. Well, I'm not sure what a 0.5 is. But if it's under 1, I'd say it's not worth worrying about. Amen?
Amen.
So we're told in Romans 1 verse 17, for with the we to live from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. Amen? In 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it says to fight the good fight of faith. So what's a good fight?
One you win.
The one you win. Who wants to come second in a sword fight? Who wants to come second in a gun fight? And if you're in a gunfight, make sure you always got your the sun to your back. All right? So it's a fight that we can win. Amen? Hallelujah. So this faith is not a thing we just wheel out on Sunday when we go to church. It's a lifestyle. We're to live by faith. We're to walk by faith. Amen? And so this is something that we're all supposed to do, and God wants us to do this because he wants us to have victory. You know, there's only two kinds of trouble you can have in this life. It's the trouble you got now. And you might be sitting there saying, well, I don't have any trouble now. Well, it leads to the second kind of trouble you can have. It's the trouble you're going to have. And I'm not speaking bad things on you. Just to be alive and to be on this planet, who knows, there's a thief that goes around. He's wanting to steal, kill and destroy, and he hates you. Amen. Because you're made in the image of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you about two things today. Identity and purpose. Pastor Led touched on this last night because I think he was came out of my place and was reading some of my notes. But we were talking a bit about this when we were eating our goat curry, not country. But there's two things that are really important. They've got to come in this order. You've got to have identity, and then you can have purpose. Now, a lot of people do have a purpose in life. They may be tremendous singers like Mariah Carey or whatever those famous people are. I don't really keep up with all this stuff. There's a guy, Bublé, what's his name? Michael Bublé, yeah. They have really good voices and they have a purpose, but I don't think that's a godly purpose. It could be a godly gift. And oftentimes, we've got to find out who we are. And often, like Pastor Les said last night, we say to some, who are you? And somebody says, well, I'm a carpenter. Or her. It's not who you are, but it's not what you do. That doesn't identify you. Because this is what happens to a lot of people. They go through their life and they identify as a carpenter or a candlestick maker or a baker or whatever, or a surgeon or whatever. And so when they retire, their whole purpose in life is in what they're doing. And they don't know who they are because they've retired. Who are you now? So if I ask you who you are, if you're a child of God, you first and foremost should say, I'm a child of God and I'm full of resurrection life. You've got the power. Hallelujah. So when you find out who you are, then you can find out what you need to do, your purpose. And this is what Jesus did. Les did this last night. I've got the scriptures. I'm not going to turn to. Who wasn't here last night? A few. Okay. Well, let me just tell you. You know that Jesus went into the synagogue. Thank you, Luke. In Luke chapter 4, and it says he unscrolled these things. Things were in scrolls. And he deliberately found in the book, and he started to read something in Luke chapter 4. And it says that he found this passage of scripture, which I will read to you. He found the place where it was written. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And you know how he could do that? Because when he was 12 years old, His parents, when they went up to Jerusalem to do some feast things and so forth, the requirements that they needed to do under the law. And when they left in their caravan with their people going back to where the city was, Jesus was left, and they thought that he was with the relatives, and they'd gone for about a day or two's journey, and they realized Jesus is not with Uncle Joe and Aunt Mary or Aunt Bertha or whatever her name was. And they raced back into him, and in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, and he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you know that I must be about my Father's business? Now, we're talking about a 12 or 13-year-old boy. He already knew and worked out that he was the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. You know what he did? He found himself in the book. He found himself in the book. And you have to find yourself in the book. And if you're a believer, you're already in the book. And if you're not a believer, you're still in the book. Because it says in John 3:16 that whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish. Everybody here today is a whosoever. But as a believer, you can find yourself in the book. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things have become new. Amen? Amen. So who are you? You're a child of God. So that's who you are, not what you do. It's not, I'm just a housewife. Who cares? That's important. You're not just a housewife. You could be raising up your children, could be the next Billy Graham. Amen. Hallelujah. I have to ask him over here. So who are you? You're a child of God and you're full of power. You're full of resurrection life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Identity and purpose. 1 John 3 verse 8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So if Jesus knew he was the Son of God, he knew his purpose. He came to proclaim the gospel. He came to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. You know, he used healing to actually, like a dinner bell. You know, if you got healed, that's really great. No, I'm happy. But by the way, did I tell you people get healed in their seats in our meetings? I mean, pain disappears, lumps disappear out of people, their spines are straightened, people, hearing comes back, their eyesight comes back, is restored. Hallelujah. So just chill out a bit because you can't heal yourself. You know, it says in Luke 5 verse 15, it says the multitudes came, they heard, and they were healed. So you already made the right decision by coming here today. You're one third the way there.
Amen.
And you could be here and you might have had a problem in your body for 40 years. Well, guess what? Today's your day for a miracle. Now that one story that Pastor Led was telling you about, this lady, this is phenomenal. This lady, she had a pain level in her body, was 8 out of 9, had trouble breathing when she came out and these problems in the area and upper arm. And she was of a great age. She was in her 80s. And she had an 8 out of 9 pain, no, was it 9 out of 10 pain level? It's pretty bad. But you know what, I really like this. It's a bit like another story I can tell because I realise there's no age cap on getting healed. There's no expiry date. Some people say, you know what, when the last apostles died, miracles passed away because the day of miracles are finished. Well, you big bozo, it's not a day of miracles, it's a God of miracles and he's not dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So this lady comes out the front and I actually use my faith for when I pray and minister for people for healing, I use my faith for no one to fall down. That's a thing, right? If I think you're going to fall, I'll grab you by the shirt. I'll sit you down in a chair. Because Jesus said, rise and be healed, not fall down, get nothing.
Amen.
We're not about praying for the sick, we're about healing the sick. So anyway, she's out there. I pull her out the front and curse the pain, rah, 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 and all that. Run everything to be healed. And she felt a little bit better, still having trouble breathing. I said, how's it now? What's your pain level? She said, it's gone down to a 5. I think, man, that's pretty bad. Anyway, I started to search my spirit, pray, God, what's going on here? What's going on here? Lindy's always helping me. And she'd gone off and ministered to some other lady, got her healed and sorted out. And she comes back and sits down in a chair and I'm searching my spirit. I'm getting thinking, what is this, Lord? There's a blockage here. I don't, what's going on? What's going on? And as soon as she sits down in the seat, God spoke to her like that and said, this lady's got a spirit of fear. So she tells me, she comes out here, Lindy dealt with that, and this lady, she goes, ah, like this, a big expiry noise out of her lungs, and instantly she was healed. No, you're supposed to say, praise Jesus. Come on, guys, get with the program here. So praise Jesus. Then Lindy gets a little bit more information and says, something happened to you when you were a child. She said, yes, something happened to me when I was 15 years old. Now listen to this. This lady was 82 years old. So for 15 from 82 is 67 years. She had trouble breathing properly and it caused all this damage and up in her arm, bore all everything forward. And so for, now I think this is a record. I don't think there's anything in the Bible. The man at the Pool of Bethesda was there 38 years. But this lady, everybody say 67 years.
67 years.
Put up your hands if you're not even 67 yet. You're just youngins. This lady has had this problem longer than you've lived. And she's instantly delivered and instantly healed. And she told me that after the meeting that she'd actually been praying for God to take her home, living at a 9 out of 10 pain level. She just wanted to go and be with Jesus. So this lady's got a whole brand new life. Anyway, I'm supposed to be teaching you or telling you something. Okay, so Jesus had a purpose. Did you know Jesus was a carpenter, right? You reckon he's pretty good or what? Imagine you went down and bought a chair off, you know, a chair off Jesus, and you sat on it, and the third time you sat on it, the leg broke on it. Oh, what a dodgy carpenter. Do you think that would have happened with Jesus? Do you think he might have been a master craftsman? I'll ask him over here. Do you think he'd be a master craftsman? Okay. So as a master craftsman, he would have bought those skills, and because he's anointed of the Holy Ghost, he would have been pretty good in ministry. You reckon he would have been pretty good? Do you reckon he'd be a pretty good example? Do you reckon he'd be perfect? Do you reckon he'd be someone that we'd want to follow, we could learn from? Okay, so what are the tools of the trade that he used to fulfill his purpose once he'd found out his identity? Would you like to know? Well, even if you don't, I'm going to tell you anyway. What Jesus did, he went around teaching, preaching, and demonstrating or healing. These are the tools of the trade. Amen?
Yeah.
Matthew 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of diseases and all kinds of sicknesses amongst the people. Now, you know what all is, right?
Yeah.
73%.
No.
Come on now. What does all mean? 73%, right? What sort of school did you go to? What does all mean? Well, I've looked up this word in the Greek and it means all. 100%. But you know, the healings precede the preaching and teaching of the word. Not always. How about this one here? Matthew 9, verse 35, and Jesus went around the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. It sounds like the same thing, but it's a different scripture at a different time. Amen? So we need to minister the way that Jesus did, right? You know what it says in John 14, verse 12 to 14? Most assuredly, I say to you, let's just check here today. We've got any believers in here today?
Yeah.
Let me see if you're a believer. Put your hand up. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. You know what? We're going to find you in the book now. We're going to find you in the book. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do what? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. I mean, Jesus is telling, he's telling you, he's giving you the gospel. The works that I do, you're going to do also. So you know what? If you use the Bible pattern, you're going to get a Bible result. If you use the Bible pattern, you're going to get the Bible result. You know, I was really excited last night. I had trouble getting to sleep. I just get excited because I think, God is going to do tomorrow. Is there anybody here still got sickness and disease in their body? Put your hand up, please. Are you in need of healing? Thank God we've still got some victims. I mean customers. Well, I say people are going to get healed here. They can get healed in their seat. You're going to see people get healed. You see people instantly healed. The disclaimer is that if there's nobody here to get healed, I can't demonstrate anything. Thank God. Thank you for being sick and thank you for coming today. Sure, appreciate your presence. What was I saying? The tools of the trade. The tools of the trade. Well, you know what? Jesus ministered through the Word, but He also ministered through the Spirit. And one thing I noticed is that when He ministered the Word, whole multitudes got healed. Oftentimes when He'd minister through the gifts of the Spirit, like at the Pool of Bethesda, anybody know this story? Goes to the Pool of Bethesda, there supposedly there was a story, this angel would come down, stir the waters, the first person that needed healing, get in the water, they got healed. Too bad if you're blind and you've got no one to help you. And so Jesus see this man who'd been there for about 38 years, who was lame. And there was a multitude there, but only one person got healed. Amen? We know that the gifts of Spirit in operation because Jesus supernaturally knew that this man had been in this condition for a long time. So He ministered through the Word and He ministered through the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Now I'll tell you a little secret. I have a secret. I have a default. Now, I don't minister, other people minister differently to me. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like people might have be an evangelist or a prophetic sort of thing and they operate through gifts of healing. I don't operate through gifts of healing. Pastor Leslie, I do. And he might be right. It's just, maybe I just don't know. Look, these are Bible College directors. They might be able to help me. They might be able to tell me. I don't know how it all works. I just know it does. I don't complicate it. So, for me, I operate with the Word. Let me do my thing. Let me teach the Word, preach the Word, whatever, and let me demonstrate. Because there's two things happening. The Word is going forth for a reason. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come from having heard. Let me look at my notes again. Hallelujah. Jesus was a good tradesman, right? He used the Bible pattern and got Bible results. So you know what? You can get people healed on purpose, not accidentally. You know, a lot of people, you know, it's a bit of a hit and miss thing, praying for people and they get healed. And somebody gets healed and they, oh, shock, horror, somebody got healed. Man, it's the opposite for me. If I minister to somebody and they're not healed, I want to know why. I'm shocked. Why not? And you know what? I know the problem's never at God's end. Hallelujah. And if you need healing today and you're not healed and you've been waiting for a while, guess what? You know what? God is not the problem. Say, oh, that's making me feel condemned. You should be happy. Because God is not going to change. You should be happy because of the problems that you're in. You can change it. We can get under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Look, if you want to go to the Gold Coast and you start heading north this way, I'm going to say, hey, you're going the wrong way. Because if you travel north, you're not going to the Gold Coast. And some people think they're on a pathway to healing. They're not on a pathway to anything. People say, well, you know, I need healing. I've prayed about it. I'm just waiting on God. You're not waiting on God. God already had His turn 2,000 years ago. And it says in 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes you were healed. So you're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you to get into faith for you to believe and receive. Or you can doubt and do without. Now see, I'm sorry this is so simplistic for you, but I don't know any other way to do it. Because if it was complicated, forget it. I can't do complicated. Here's some people over here I know. They know me. They know me. I tell them about all these miracles all the time. It's awesome. Praise God. What God? God is awesome. He's in this house. Healing's in this house. Power of God's present to heal. Hallelujah. Okay, now at the Pool of Bethesda, I told you about this, is in John 5 verses 1 to 9. There's a whole multitude of people there, and Jesus was operating through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through gifts of the Spirit. One person gets healed out of this multitude. So he's still 100% successful, right? But then other times he went around teaching, preaching, and multitudes came and they all got healed. So for me, I have a default. Just let me do my thing. Let me preach the word and teach. And, you know, I'm happy. Oh, the church that I attend, there was a lady, bless her heart, she brought me up this kid that goes to this church, and he wears a hearing aid. His name's Josh. But anyway, he's been part of the church many times and that sort of thing. And she started to hear about the miracles, and she brought Josh to me, which I already knew, and she's bringing him to me. You know, you've got Mr. Fix-It. Well, you know, Josh has been around the word and all that sort of thing, and really what I wanted to say is, well, be it unto you according to your faith, Josh. Because I asked Josh a few questions. I said, you know, God can heal you, and he said, yeah, I know God can do it. But the thing is, he's got to know, will God do it for me? And I wanted to say to this lady, listen, I don't operate like that. What I'm not the healer. Hey, no pressure on me. I am not the healer. Jesus is the healer. So anyway, that didn't go down too well. Because I don't operate like that. Let me put the word in. But I'm not limited to the word only, right? I can also flow in the gifts, and I can be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, God has given us all these delivery systems where we can receive healing, and really for a Christian, we're really not... Do you know what? I'm going to tell you a secret. Can I tell you a secret about healing? If you're interested in healing and you want to have God use you in the area of healing, do not try and get God to heal people. Because if you try and get God to heal people, you'll end up being frustrated. You know, all I'm trying to do is get people to receive. That's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing altogether. And faith creates an atmosphere. So, in Luke 5 verse 15, I already said this one before, it's good. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. Great multitudes, they came, they heard, and they were healed. See, a lot of people want healing, but they don't want to come and hear. You know, the woman with the issue of blood? She'd spent all the money on doctors. Who knows what they did in those days? Well, you take some beetles. You get a dead goat's head. You put it in a broth and you boil it. And you sniff it. Who knows what sort of quackery they had. And she's spending good money on that. And she's not getting any better. She's getting worse. And you know what happened? It said she heard about Jesus. Wow. Wow. You know what the first thing happened to this lady? She overcame ignorance. She heard about Jesus. Jesus is the word, right? And you know what she would have heard? She would have heard that whole multitudes were going up and touching Jesus and they're all getting healed. So you know what she says? I'm just going to stay at home. I believe Jesus will come by and knock at the door of my house. I'm just waiting on God. You'll die waiting on God. Get out and get after it. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence get out and they take it by force. She said, I'm going to go and get mine. How's it going so far, Lindy? All right? Thumbs up. Thank you. If I don't do a good job, Lindy, I'll get in trouble when I get home. Luke 16. Oh, here we go. You know, for us, you know there's good tradies and there's bad tradies? Actually, I've got some pictures on my phone, but I couldn't show them to you. Some people do a good job, some people do a bad job, right? And sometimes people can take shortcuts. And sometimes in the Christian circles, obviously not anybody here today, but you know what? They could be taking shortcuts in the area of healing. Now, Jesus ministered through the Word, and he ministered through the Spirit. Okay, so we can be led. You know, you can be moved by compassion. I've had things happen, healings and things happen, where I haven't done my thing, what I'm comfortable with, because I'm just being led. Compassion's leading me. I'll give you an illustration. The church I attend is maybe 400 or 600 people, and I'm not the pastor there. I am a pastor there, but I'm not the senior pastor. And anyway, I saw this girl for about 3 weeks. I'm seeing this. And you know, my lightning fast mind worked out, I think there's something wrong with that lady's leg or hip. And after 3 weeks to Lindy, I said, I think there's something wrong with the leg or hip. Hip. It took me 3 weeks to work that out. That's why they're called the disciples, right? And so one day, all church is finished over in that. And I've only actually, I think, ministered from the pulpit. No, on a Sunday, maybe about 3 times. And I've been going there for 8 years. So you wouldn't say I'd be exposed to the congregation, right? And so, anyway, this girl book's in the back of the church. Church is over and that. And I said to someone, what's the name of that girl? And her name was Laura. So I said, they brought her over and introduced her. Lindy and I there. And I said, Laura, what's going on with you? You've got something wrong with your hip. She said, oh, yeah. I said, would you like God to heal you? She said, oh, absolutely. I said, well, come over here and sit down here. God's going to heal you right now. And so we sat her down and got her sit nice and straight. And I wanted to put her legs up so I could check the length of her legs. You know, so I put my thumbs on where her ankle bones are. And when I have a look at them, I'm hanging onto them. Lindy sits beside her. When I looked at her left leg, it's metric. 50 mil, imperial, 2 inches, short. 2 inches or 50 mil, short. So I'm doing holding on the legs. I said, all right, Brother Lindy, do your thing. So she just commands the legs to be grow out. And thing. I told her, come over and watch this. This Laura starts to go and pray in tongues. Stop praying in tongues. You're not putting out your receivings. I said, keep your eyes open, see your miracle. And within about 30 seconds, this comes out this leg perfectly even, right? She curses all the pain, the name of Jesus, all sort of stuff. And Lindy says to her, now how do you feel now? And she said, well, I don't know. I'm sitting down. I don't know. So she stands up. She took 5 steps, turned around. Tears just burst out in her eyes. She said, all the pain's gone. And she said, I don't limp anymore. Was that what she said? So then she told us a story. She fell over in a Big W store in Dapto, 6 years previous to us meeting her. She fell over in the store. She popped out this, you know, the ball and socket goes in your hip. Totally smashed. Big emergency operation. Big dramas, right? The doctors had operated on 3 times. She was in a wheelchair for some time. She was on crutches for 6 months. And the doctors left her with a leg and pain, constant pain, after 3 surgeries. Instantly, she's totally delivered and set free. What do you say? That's it. And that night, I think that night we saw her, or the next day or something, she'd been out rock climbing or something. Oh, right, the next Friday night she went rock climbing. Yeah. Everybody say praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
It's awesome, isn't it? So, sometimes you don't always have to do a thing. I'm going to tell you something God spoke to me. I'll just tell you something. I worked for a big ministry. If I said the person's name, I worked there for 10 years. And I used to work at the back packing parcels and stuff like that. I didn't want any responsibility because I was actually pastoring at the time. Lindy and I were pastoring a church at Sunnybank. And so I just didn't want, I wanted a no-brainer kind of a job, you know, just packing things. So I was running their warehouse and so forth. Not that it's not a no-brainer. If you're working in a warehouse, it's not a no-brainer. It's important. But for me, it was just, you know. Anyway, I used to do all the walk-ins. Everybody that walk-in wanted prayer, they'd come and get me, right? And I remember this lady walked in from, and she was from South Africa. That's right, she's from South Africa. And she had, I think it was fibromyalgia or something. Incredible pain across your shoulders. And I said to her, do you have pain in your body right now? She said, oh, yes. I said, okay, well, let's do a deal. Let's do a deal. If the pain goes away, you'd know about it. She said, oh, yeah, I know about it. And I said, okay, if God could take away the pain right now, he can take away the fibromyalgia. She said, yes. So we got a deal, right? Just curse the pain in the name of Jesus, command it to heal, command it, all the pain to leave. And she goes like this and she said, wow. I said, where's the pain? She said, it's all gone.
Thank you.
That's right. You're getting, you guys are slow, but you're getting it. Thank you, Jesus. So I just cursed the fibromyalgia, commanded it to come out in the name of Jesus, turned around, walked out the door, never saw her again, never heard anything since. And out of that, God spoke to me and he said, locate people, don't placate people. Locate people. Where are they at? Let's just slow it down, just find out. Amen? And another thing God spoke to me, this is probably maybe 15 or 20 years ago, he told me this, this is a saying. I hope I can say it right. I think I should be able to. He told me this is concerning healing, right? Teaching or anointing, either or both, but never neither. I'll say it to you again. Teaching or anointing, either or both, but never neither. You got that? Do you need, anybody need help? Because this is really important. I'm telling you some secrets. Listen, if it works, listen. Hello, listen. If I can do this, you can do it. Sometimes there is no teaching when we're trying to minister to the sick. There is no anointing and we're laying hands on people. There's no transfer. There's no faith. There's nothing happening. And you know what? Nothing happens. I've started off seminars and say, I've done a lot of seminars of this, and I'll start off and say, anybody know that people that got prayed for, they didn't get healed and even died, and everybody's got their hands up there. I said, would you like to get prayed for or would you like to get healed? Everybody wants to get healed, but they don't want to get prayed for because Jesus said to heal the sick, not pray for the sick.
Yeah.
So, who knows the scripture about lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover? Anybody know how that goes? Anybody can quote it? Anybody quote it? Okay, what's the whole verse say though? What does it say? What did you say? These signs shall follow those that believe. All right, well, let's just turn to that for a minute. Let's just go to Mark 16. Let's go from 15 to verse 20. And before we go to 20, let's just pick it up in verse 17. Verse 17, this is the one that we all know. Everybody got there? I want you to turn to see this. Mark 16, verses, we're going to do 15 to 20, but we're going to start in verse 17. Everybody there? What's it say, the first word in verse 17? Oh, wait, wow, wait. What's the first word say?
And.
What's and? It's a conjunction. So it's tying us to the verses before. And what are the verses before? It says, go all ye and all to the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out, and what did they do? They preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them and what? Confirming the what? Confirming the what?
The
confirming the word that they what? That they preached. See, there's a purpose for me to be here and there's a purpose in what I'm doing. I didn't come here today because I wanted to, you know, I could have been doing some awesome things at home like wash my car, mow the lawn, iron my jocks and socks, clean up the kitchen for my wife. I mean, I'm missing out on all that stuff. Listen, in our household, my wife, if she is the neat freak, I'm Mr. Messy. Do you know, this is a sandwich. This is a sandwich. They're preaching, going out and preaching the gospel, laying hands on the sick, and then they shall recover, and then you go out and you actually minister the word. But we're not only restricted to that, ministering through the word, we can get... Is this going all right, Les? Pastor Les? Yeah, it's all good? Okay. Just had a funny look on your face. I thought, no, I might be in trouble. I'll try and simplify it. Laying on the hands on the sick is not magic. It's not abracadabra at the tomb of Aladdin. Your understanding of the acts of laying on the hands will determine the importance you place upon what precedes the act. Understanding the procedure and the reason behind the act is what brings results. Laying on of hands is probably the most misused doctrines in the charismatic and Pentecostal churches. See, when you're laying on the hands and you're doing the Bible way, there's meant to be a transfer. You realize you're transferring the power of God. And the person should have some understanding that something's going to happen. Now listen, they don't have to be in faith as long as they're kind of in neutral. You can work with them. You know you can't push a car. You can push a car in neutral, can't you? Motor's not going. You can push it. You put the handbrake on. You put it in park. You're not pushing that car. Now, how much faith did Lazarus have when he was dead in the tomb? Could we say he's neutral? Could we say he's not really in faith, is he? And he's not really in unbelief because he's just dead. And he stunk. Are you starting to get, you know, you can catch what I'm trying to communicate here. This is as much caught as taught. Hallelujah. Laying over hands is in the middle of this scripture. First, you have to preach the gospel in context. Amen. You preach, you lay on the hands, and then the Lord worked with them, confirming the word that was preached. Amen. Use the Bible pattern, you get the Bible results. Now, there's lots of times, you know, there's actually scriptures that said whole multitudes came to Jesus. There's no reference to him preaching the word at all. There's no reference at all. Multitudes came because they wanted to touch him and they got healed. What's going on here? These people are already in faith. They're already in faith. They're coming to get, I'm going to get mine. Like the woman with the issue of blood. You know, I've done healing meetings. I've pastored for almost 20 years. And thank God I've been delivered. I just go around and do healing meetings now and it's wonderful because you have all the fun, no responsibility. Because you know when you're pastoring, it's a really hard job. You've got to work an hour on Sunday every week. Isn't that right, Pastor Les? No, that's a really tough gig. Isn't it? So, what was I saying? What? I was being silly, I know. I'm often being silly. Now, it's really important for us to understand there's either a preaching or anointing, either or both, but never neither. We can be good tradesmen. And you know what? God's given you everything you need. You just need the Word of God. Linda and I were talking about this morning when we were walking the dog. We went up to visit somebody in hospital who was from a church we were attending. This is probably 15, 20 years ago. And we were talking to this lady, and the person in the bed beside, who we didn't know from a bar of soap, right, had a child, and they gave her an epidural or something, and they damaged her nerve. She was in a bad shape. She was really in a bad way. She overheard and said, "Would you be able to come and pray and minister to me?" So Lindy said, "Yeah, no problem." Do you know what Lindy did? She got out the scripture, her Bible. It was either in a phone. Actually, it was 20 years ago. It was a Bible. That's right. Wouldn't have had a phone in those days. Opened a Bible and showed her about anointing of oil, the elders coming and praying, the prayer of faith. She showed her the scripture. She called for us. So she had called for us. We're elders. It's not the oil that saves the sick. It's not the prayer of the elders that save the sick. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. Now they told this girl she was going to be in hospital for several months, wasn't it? Was that right? Yeah, brand new baby. She was in a bad way. Do you know what? We went up to see this person that we originally went to see. This lady, we said, "Where's the lady in the bed next day?" "Oh, she's all good. She's been discharged. She's gone home." She got healed. Cool, we didn't rush at her. We showed her the scriptures. One scripture is enough to put some word into the person. This is what's going to happen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I could give you... Did you know... let's just talk about... You can do what I'm doing. Now, fair enough, yeah. I do have a pulpit ministry. Yes, I am anointed. I'm teaching today, or whatever you want to call it. Melinda might call it fooling around, talking about God and having fun, and people get healed. Who cares? So, but the Word, you can have the Word, and you can do what I do. Because oftentimes when we see someone that's a prophet comes through, or a traveling evangelist who operates and gives the healing, we used to all see these awesome things happening, and we think, "Well, I can't do that. I don't have gifts of healing. I don't have gifts of healing, but I see miracles all the time. All the time. We get people healed on purpose. And you can too." Turn to your neighbour and say, "And he's talking to you." Jesus said, "He who believes in me..." Got any believers here today? Put your hands up. He said, "The works that I do, you do also." Jesus used these healings as a dinner bell. Because what's the point of getting healed and going to hell if you don't get saved? Because the greatest miracle is the new birth. Being born again, born from above. Amen? So we see a common disciple is Ananias in Acts chapter 9, who sees the Lord in a vision and says, "This guy's going to come and see you. I want you to lay hands on him. You're going to receive his sight." He doesn't preach to Saul of Tarsus. He just lays hands on him and scales fall off his eyes and he comes seeing. See, you don't always have to preach if you're being led. You know, sometimes I know people have done crazy things. They might be going down and think, "Oh, God wants me to pray for this person in a wheelchair going down the mall of Garden City Shops or something." Well, if God's telling you to do that and you go and do that, and if they get out of the wheelchair, yep, that was God. If you go and do that, they don't get out of the wheelchair, guess what? That wasn't God. Does that make sense? Oh, I'll go and ask him over here. Going down, you're going in the mall at the Garden City, right? And you see someone in a wheelchair and you think, God's told me, go and pray for that person in the wheelchair. So you go over and pray for them in the wheelchair, pull them out, they fall flat in their face. You know what? Guess what? That wasn't God. If they get up and start running around, go walking, leaping, praising God, guess what? That was God. That's it. You're either hearing from God or you're not hearing from God. It's put up or shut up. Isn't that right? So we're not just limited to the word, but my default is the word. Just let me do my thing. You know the word, I have got great confidence in the word of God. That's why people get healed in their seats. I just let the word do its thing. It's awesome. The meeting, this lady that had this issue for 67 years, which I think is a record. Anybody finds any longer in the Bible, let me know. I'll be impressed. But 67 years, I think, could be a record. There were two people just got healed sitting in their seats at this little. It was a little like a home church of about 25 people. Isn't that awesome? Isn't God good? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I think that's enough now. Hallelujah. Okay. Is anybody here today? You've got pain in your body right now. And okay, we see two people. That's good. Okay. Let me just ask you questions. If you have a pain level out of 10, 10 being the very worst, if your pain level's above 5, put your hand up. Oh, praise God. That's exciting. Okay. If it's above 7, put your hand up. Hallelujah. If it's above 8, put your hand up. Glory to God, you are the winner today. Hallelujah. Where's your pain, Liv? Where's your pain?
I have pain in my knees.
Well, no problem for Jesus. Okay, you're ready to receive. Okay, come on, Lindy. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to speak to that pain right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. We just take authority to this pain in this knees, this hip area, this shoulder area, or anywhere else. And numbness in your hand and numbness in your foot. Okay. Pain! Come out in Jesus' name. We command those feet to be healed, those knees to be healed, this side of your body to be healed. We command numbness to come out of your hands right now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you for resurrection life that's surging to every part of our body in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's go for a little walk. Ready? How's that? Now, listen, I'm not doing the healing, right? So you don't have to tell me anything that's not true. Is the pain level gone any better? What was it when we started?
It's been about 8 or 9.
It would have 8 or 9. Okay, so how's it doing now?
Palsy.
Okay, let's sit down here. You've had a bit of a stroke and you've got palsy. Oh, that's good. Did you know the Lord told me about 20 or 30 years ago that he'd give me a special anointing for palsy? So do you have palsy in your feet? Okay, I just want to check the length of your legs. Is that all right? Just can we put your ankles up? Are you sitting nice and straight? As straight as you can? Okay, just relax. Chill. You're not healing yourself. You're not doing anything. If you could do it yourself, you wouldn't have to be here. Okay, so just chill and relax. I know what I'm doing. God knows what he's doing. It's the deal. So let's just check the legs of your legs. Just put your legs up here. Okay. We just command that spine to come in divine alignment right now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Okay. Up you go. There you go. Now, what's your pain level now?
Yeah, it's easing,
is it? Well, do you know what? If we can get some of it to leave, we should be able to get it all to leave. Because, you know, when a blind man came to Jesus, he said, look, don't want the lights in heaven to dim. We'll just heal one eye now and come back later. Come back tomorrow, because it's not really God's time, and he's trying to teach you a lesson. No, that never ever happened, not in the Bible. Come, let's go for a little walk, because faith without action's dead. Did you know that? All I'm doing is I'm actually bridling your body with my tongue and the name of Jesus. How are you doing now? Yeah. No, you said, what's the pain level now? Yeah, that's all right. Just tell me. It's about a 7, okay. I curse all pain and command to leave in Jesus' name. All right, Lindy, come and get on the other side of her. Grab her hand. Curse all pain. All pain, we command her to leave in the name of Lord Jesus. All pain go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How's it going there? It's still there? Okay. Everybody praying in tongues. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Amen? We're all part of this. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the resurrection life that's surging to every cell in this body of this lady, restoring her unto health in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It's quickening every cell, every joint and ligament, muscle and tendon in Jesus' name. You doing all right? Not going too fast for you? How's it going now? What's the pain level now? What's your pain level now? Just tell us. Probably out of 6. Everybody say, what? Praise Jesus. It's going down, right? Started at a 9, then to a 7, now it's a 6. Hallelujah. You doing good? You know, if we can get some of it to leave, we can get it all to leave. Amen. Come on, we'll go for a walk. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How's it going now? What's it now? Is it still a six?
Yeah.
Still a 6. Okay, let's come over here. Well, let's check out on some other things. Come over here. We'll check out your hips. Is that all right? All right. Just stand there. Put your feet together. Stand up nice and straight. Okay. Can you just put your thumbs on your front of your hip? Your hips. You know your hip bones at the front here. You right? Okay. Okay. Okay, just face forward. Lindy, just speak to it. All pain come out of this body in Jesus' name. All pain go in Jesus' name. All means all. Go in Jesus' name. Okay. Go for another little walk, see how we're going. I don't want to wear you out though. You're doing all right? You're happy working with us? Okay. How's it going? Tell me what number are we up to now? You haven't got a lot. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Quick, where's that mic? She said she doesn't feel like she's got a lot of pain there. Quick. Okay, you don't feel like you've got a lot of pain. So we started off as an 8 or 9. Yeah. All right, so what are we down to? Now listen.
Because I could have a walk.
I know. Listen. Don't say things because you're trying to get rid of me. I'm trying to get rid of you. I'm not healing you. And I'm not trying to say things, you know.
No.
Think if it's not coming down, it has to come down.
It does. So
you started about an 8 or 9. Where do you think you're at it now?
I'd say probably about a 5.
About a 5,
yeah.
Okay. Is it going in the right direction?
Yeah.
Is everybody okay with this?
Yeah.
We can get it all out, right?
Yeah.
Come on. I think you're doing really good. Hallelujah. Oh, no pressure on me.
No, not less pressure on my hand now. You're walking a lot better. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's good. Doing good.
Let's spin around this way.
You just took a bit to your feet.
So these feet were returned. The right one?
Just take authority over this foot now. Command you to function perfectly in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Right. You all good? How are we going on the score now? You said you could hardly walk before, but you're doing a lot better now. You'd be able to run after the devil and give him a good kick in the back. Amen. Hallelujah. It's exciting. I love my job. If it's a job. Well, she's going. You're going pretty good. Now just stop and just take an assessment. Wiggle around, just see how that's feeling. What are we at with the numbers now?
Yeah, I'm walking a lot.
Yeah. Okay, what's your pain level down to?
Probably about a 3.
About a 3 or 4. Now, okay, look. Okay, now for the sake of time, would you give me enough grace to say the power of God can continue working in her and it'll go down to 0, because otherwise we just keep working with her? We'll just sit you down here. The power of God's working in your body. Now, who was the other person that had pain in their body here? Can you come out too?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank everybody say?
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. What's your pain level out of 10 then? What is it? A 7, is it? Okay. It hurts, does it? You've been to the doctor? What is it? What's he say it is?
Rotator
cuffs. Okay. It's your job. Are you still doing that job? Oh my. What sort of job is it? A nursing home. Wow. You love your job. Is it because you're lifting people and so forth? Father, I just pray for this lady and where she works there. Father, they get better work health and safety practices into position, Father, where there's not going to be any more issues there at her workplace where it's causing these injuries to her and to other people. Father, we just thank you for revelation knowledge for the management there in Jesus' name. Supernatural wisdom in Jesus' name. But that's the work part. Let's take care of you.
Okay.
It hurts, okay. Okay, right. All right, what I want you to do is just take your legs and your shoulders. Just your shoulders, right? I want you to, here, I've got, this is good. What I want you to do, these are techniques, right? You can learn from these are techniques. So if you could sort of swing your arms a bit, put your hands up, but don't let them touch because we want to see if that's out of alignment. Put your thumbs up and just have them about thing, yeah. Okay. All right, Lindy. Just curse any pain, commanded to get out of this body right now in Jesus' name. Everybody say what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Just rest them on my fingers now. Curse all pain, command to leave these shoulders and this upper arm area in Jesus' name. Command full movement. These muscles, joints and ligaments right now, full rotation in Jesus' name. Command those rotator cuffs to be healed right now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. You're tottering a bit there, you're not going to fall, are you? No falling. Just receiving. You know the rules. That's good. Good. Hallelujah. This is about receiving healing, right? Amen. Okay, I want you to check that out now. Tell us what the pain level is, right? How's that? Put it up near her face. Wonderful.
What?
That's all right. Slight pain. We command all slight pain to come out of this body in Jesus' name. Let's go for a little walk. Let the power of God do a bit of work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's swing the arms this way. Let's go to swing the arm back this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Hallelujah. All right, give them a good swing now. See what's happening. Look at that. Full rotation.
Cool.
Wow, that's awesome. She's
awesome.
Gone. Yeah. Okay, all the pain gone? All the pain's gone. Everybody say? Thank you, Jesus. Now, just to get this right, so when you came out here, you've had a pain level of about 7 out of 10. You couldn't rotate your arms. You couldn't lift them above here, right? Now you can do, show people what you can do. And everybody said what?
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And these miracles can come by your hands too.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, anybody else need prayer this morning or ministering to? It's got sickness in their body. These are the only two people that had pain. Anybody else need healing? Prayer today? Okay, you need healing. Okay, buddy, what you got? Okay, just stay there. Name of Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over kids and these stones. I just commanded to dissolve and be expelled from this body right now, in Jesus' name. Not to be expelled from the body right now, but to be dissolved right now and expelled later. Hallelujah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't even know who you're talking about.
I've seen so many miracles.